Hey listener, have you ever driven a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, or a Maserati? Have you taken a ride on a Ducati motorcycle? Have you worn an Armani suit or a Max Mara coat? Have you eaten Parmigiano Reggiano, Prosciutto di Parma, Bolognese sauce, or balsamic vinegar? All of these things come from the same place, a region in Italy called Emilia-Romagna. Also from that region is a legendary wine called Lambrusco. And you're going to learn all about it today and why you should drink it from a fifth generation winemaker who was born and raised in the region. This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a certified specialist of wine and wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. Today, our guest is Alessandro Medici. And Alessandro comes from a place that is very dear to my heart, the Emilia-Romagna region in Italy. And our listener today, you are going to learn about a wine that really does come from a place. Every episode at the very end, I say, wine is food and it comes from a place. And today we're talking about a wine that is a food and comes from a place. And our listener is probably from the United States, probably knows wine more by varietals, by the name of the grape. And that's why I like to talk about wines from places, because to understand a really authentic wine is to understand where it's from. And today we have someone who is from the region where Lambrusco wine is made. And Alessandro, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And you have a little bit of history as a winemaker and your family as well. Could you tell us a little bit about how long you've been a winemaker and how long your family has been making wine?
Absolutely. So I am Alessandro Medici, and I represent the fifth generation of our winery that is called the Medici Ermete. So it's 131 years of history. And from 131 years, as you said, we produce our autochthonal grape that is called Lambrusco. That is an historical grape from our land, that is actually Emilia-Romagna, because our winery is located in the heart of the Emilia-Romagna region in a city called Reggio Emilia. Actually, I started to do this this work with an official contract, let's say, almost 4 years ago after my study in Piedmont of Gastronomic Sciences. And right now I'm involved in several parts of the winery, in the winemaking and in the commercial part. I'm the brand ambassador of the winery. And, you know, the mission of my family has always been to try to communicate to the world our wine, Lambrusco, so also our land. I think you said previously, Joe, an extremely true thing about the wine and about the land where the wine is produced, and is exactly what we try to communicate. When we communicate Lambrusco, we always communicate a land that is our land, that is Emilia-Romagna, because I think wines tell a lot of the place where those wines are produced.
Right. And, you know, as I said, I think probably our listener, if they've had Lambrusco, they probably didn't even realize it. They may not understand it. It's kind of an unusual wine for an American, especially. It's very dark red. It's fizzy. It's deliciously fruity. Like, usually Americans are used to seeing a white or a pink wine that is more sparkling, not necessarily red. But they probably know a little bit about the place where Lambrusco comes from, because there are some famous supercars that are there. There is some famous vinegar that comes from there. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the history of the land outside of the wine first, to help our listener understand, like, some of the famous things that are around this area of the Emilia-Romagna.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I totally love my land. So I always love to talk about our region, that is Emilia-Romagna. First of all, starting from the position of Emilia-Romagna, because Emilia-Romagna is between the north and the center of Italy. And it's exactly in between the three maybe most important regions for wine. So it's in between Piedmont, Veneto, and Tuscany. We are exactly there, but Emilia-Romagna is an extremely dynamic region. When I say dynamic, I mean that, first of all, it's one of the richest regions in Italy. It's rich because Emilia-Romagna is full of different companies from different sectors. As you said, motors. We are quite famous in the world for motors, you know, brands like Ferrari, Maserati, Ducati, Lamborghini are from Emilia-Romagna, but also for fashion, for creativity, for art, and of course for food. That is my biggest passion together with wine. I could do a seminar just on food of 1 hour, but just let me tell a few products from Emilia-Romagna like Parmigiano Reggiano cheese, balsamic vinegar, that my family also produce in a very artisanal way. All the fresh pasta like tagliatelle, tortellini, lasagna, the bolognese sauce, and charcuteries, you know, salami, mortadella, coppa. We have so many products, and just consider that in Italy we have a classification of high quality products for food that is called the DOP classification, and Emilia-Romagna is the region with the highest number of DOP products. So you can easily understand how fertile is our territory. And thanks to this land, thanks to this wonderful French people say terroir, we can produce a unique wine like Lambrusco.
So Alessandro, you were rattling off all the different foods from your region, and it sounded like you opened up my refrigerator door and we're just talking about all the food, because that is everything I have in my refrigerator. All of those things, Parmigiano Reggiano, all of the salami, the bologna, everything, and the pasta as well. And I do also have a nice small bottle of your family's balsamic vinegar. It's absolutely delicious. It's the type of thing that you wouldn't necessarily, I mean, it is good on a salad, but I even put it over ice cream. It's so delicious.
Yeah,
thank you. Yummy. At least one person in my life from Italy would tell me that Emilia-Romagna is the stomach of Italy. And I think our listener can understand why with all this delicious food. So with all these delicious foods, it would make sense that you would have a wine that matches well with all these foods. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the wine, Lambrusco.
Absolutely. Lambrusco is, first of all, an unique wine. Not because I am the producer, but the characteristic of Lambrusco are unique. Lambrusco is a red wine, an extremely red wine in some occasion, and it's fizzy, as you said. It's a sparkling, red, and usually dry wine. And actually is originally the unique sparkling, red, and dry wine that we can find in the world. Right now, you can find some Australian wines, some wines from Chile, some other wines from Italy that have these characteristics, but originally Lambrusco was the unique one. And actually, Lambrusco is a grape, so it's exactly like to say Chardonnay, Nebbiolo, Sangiovese, Pinot Noir. So it's a common grape, but has an important characteristic, because Lambrusco is a grape, but is a family of different varieties. And all these varieties have different names and different organoleptic characteristics. Just let me tell the three most important varieties of Lambrusco: Sorbara, Salamino, and Grasparossa. All these three varieties that I just said are in the Lambrusco family, but they have completely different characteristics. Sorbara, for example, has a wonderful pale red color with a wonderful acidity. Same pH, same acidity in every vintage of the Champagne area. This is thanks to the variety and thanks to the soil. Then we have Grasparossa, that is the opposite. Intense red, more tannic, less acidity. And in the middle, we have Salamino, that is called Salamino because the shape of the bench, it reminds a long salami, a long sausage. And the characteristic of Salamino is exactly in the middle. It's maybe the most balanced Lambrusco between acidity, tannin, and fruit. So why I'm telling you the story and the characteristics of these three wines? Because people have to understand that Lambrusco, yes, it's an easy wine because it's easy to drink, I always say, and it's easy to finish a bottle. But actually, the Lambrusco grape, the Lambrusco variety, is not so easy. It's complicated, of course, in a good way, because great wine areas have, you know, different soils, different crus, different varieties. You know, just think to Barolo, how many crus with different soils we have. Lambrusco is the same. And all these varieties are cultivated in different areas of Emilia-Romagna. And with these varieties, we can get the Lambrusco wine that, as I said previously, is a sparkling red, sometimes rosé, with a shorter skin contact, and usually dry.
I don't think I've seen these grapes anywhere else other than in your area. They don't grow these grapes anywhere else, can they?
These grapes are from the city of Reggio Emilia and the city of Modena. Lambrusco is an autochthonal variety and actually is one of the oldest autochthonal variety that we have in Italy. Then in the province of Mantova, that is in Lombardia, there are several producers that are doing a Lambrusco with another variety of Lambrusco family, but they can't call Lambrusco DOC because they don't have the consortium of Lambrusco. It's called Lambrusco Mantovano. And also in the province of Parma, there are producers that are making wines with the Lambrusco grape. But Lambrusco grows like the 99% in the province of Reggio Emilia and the province of Modena, that are where Medici Ermete is located, our winery is located.
Okay. Yeah. So this isn't a grape like Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon that you find all over the world. It's pretty much only in this one area of the world.
Exactly.
Wow. That's pretty unique. So there are three different grapes. So for those three different grapes, do you make them just with one of those grapes? Do you mix them together? How do you usually work with those grapes?
Yes. So actually, to be honest with you, we have more than three varieties. Actually, I described the three most famous and the three most common varieties that producers are used to produce. Actually, producers can decide to blend these varieties because all these three varieties that I just told have completely different characteristics. But in the same time, producers can decide to make the wine just with one of these varieties. And usually this is the style of our winery. Like, let me say that something about our flagship wine that is called Concerto. Concerto is 100% Lambrusco Salamino. So 100% just made with one of these varieties.
I want to help our listener when they go to the store or they go to the restaurant. I want to help them understand what they should be looking for on the label. So should it be just a particular grape variety they look for? Are there other things that they'll see on the label that will help them understand which ones that they like? Is there different levels of sweetness, for example, like they do with champagne? Is there like a brut or demi-sec or things like that? How can we help our listener kind of figure out which types of Lambrusco that they would really love?
Yes, this is an important topic to try to give the right tips to the consumers. So actually, the first thing that they have to search is about Lambrusco DOC. DOC means it's a certification of a quality product. Absolutely, Lambrusco DOC is much better than Lambrusco IGT. They could easily buy in a classic supermarket, let me say. Lambrusco DOC is the first indication. Then there is a difference between, for example, the champagne that you said previously, because in Lambrusco we have several denominations, and those denominations are linked to the area of production. So consumers can search for a Lambrusco Reggiano. Reggiano means from Reggio Emilia. Lambrusco Reggiano DOC, Lambrusco di Sorbara DOC, Lambrusco Salamino DOC, Lambrusco Grasparossa DOC. But if they read DOC, that in Italian we say DOC, this is the first point to understand that Lambrusco is a quality, is a product with a quality.
All right, so that's good. So number one, you want to make sure the DOC is on there, and it probably won't get mixed up with the IGT because I believe the IGTs are very inexpensive, whereas the DOCs are going to be more where our listeners probably spending $15, $20, something like that.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. The price is it's very different. Absolutely.
Okay, so we want to look for the DOC. We want to look for the geographical region, for example, Reggio.
Exactly.
And we want to look for the different types of grapes. Okay, so are there certain types of Lambrusco that you would recommend with certain types of food, or is it kind of like they kind of mesh well with all kinds of different foods? Or help us a little bit with like, to help us with wine and food matching with Lambrusco.
Yes, this is my favorite topic because I always say that it's hard to say that Lambrusco is the most important grape in the world, but I think it's very easy to say that Lambrusco is one of the most gastronomic and the most versatile wine that we can find in the world. So this is the most important characteristic of Lambrusco. My favorite variety, if I have to say, is Salamino, because I think it's the most balanced variety of Lambrusco. And our Concerto, our flagship wine, is made 100% with Salamino. And for example, a Salamino variety, this kind of Lambrusco, can be paired with so many different type of food, starting from our local cuisine. So all the charcuteries, fresh pasta, the Italian classic pizza, you know, or other Italian dishes like the classic spaghetti or the bolognese sauce, for example. But also Lambrusco works very well with several international dishes. Everything that is a little bit spicy, like Indian cuisine, Thailand cuisine, a beautiful and oily and fatty Mexican tacos, for example, or barbecue in summertime. I think Lambrusco is so versatile thanks to the acidity, thanks to the tannin, because it's a red variety, even if the tannin, if the producers works well, it's very gently and very elegant. Thanks to the bubbles, a great Lambrusco can be an amazing wine with so many different type of food. And this is what we have to communicate when we talk about Lambrusco. It's an extremely good, friendly wine. And I think, Joe, that the new generations of consumers and the new generation of somms, of sommeliers, are searching for this kind of wines. Refreshing, drinkable, great acidity, versatile, and that go well with food.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said that Lambrusco is a friendly wine. It is a very friendly wine. And, you know, there are so many times where, you know, the reason we get together and we eat and we have some wine to drink, it's usually a big group of people and everyone wants to eat something else. It's all different dishes. And how do you choose a wine for all these different dishes? It sounds like if you just have a bottle of Salamino, that might work, right?
Exactly.
Now, what about the other styles of Lambrusco? What kind of foods would, for example, Lambrusco di Sorbara, how would that work with what kind of foods?
Sorbara has a wonderful pale red rosé color, and that is natural. Also with 10 days of skin contact, the color doesn't change because the skin of the Sorbara is not so rich of colors. So it has this beautiful, natural, intense rosé color, and it has a wonderful acidity. We produce a wine called Fermento, that is a pednat, and it's made 100% with Lambrusco di Sorbara. Actually, for me, Fermento is my baby because it was my first project in the winery. And that kind of wine, I think, can go very well also, not just with charcuteries, but also with fish. Especially like, you know, tempura, a Japanese tempura that is a little bit oily, crunchy. Also with raw fish, like a salmon, tuna. In Emilia-Romagna, in our region, in the east part of Emilia-Romagna, we have sea. We have the Adriatico Sea. And it's an area that is quite famous for the eel. I don't know if my pronunciation is good.
Yeah, eel, sure.
Eel, exactly. That is extremely fatty, extremely oily. And Sorbara is wonderful with eel. And it's wonderful Sorbara with everything that is a little bit fatty, oily. It goes very well because the acidity cuts perfectly the fatness of the food. And also is extremely versatile also for an aperitivo, you know, because it's very refreshing. It has these gently and elegant bubbles. It has this beautiful acidity. So it's extremely versatile, not just for the pairing, but also for the occasion when consumers can drink this wine, starting from the afternoon in the swimming pool, arriving to the final toast of a beautiful dinner.
Oh, it sounds great. It sounds delicious. Is there a Lambrusco that would go with steak?
Yes. For example, Graspa Rossa, that is the most tannic variety, I think can go very well with meat. So, as I said previously, it's hard to say something that doesn't go well with Lambrusco. Also, for example, some desserts, because Lambrusco, the real Lambrusco, and this is important to say to the consumers, is dry. So the Lambrusco that we are used to produce in Emilia-Romagna and that we are used to drink in Emilia-Romagna, because if you come to Emilia-Romagna, Joe, you can find 10, 15, 20 Lambrusco in the wine list of restaurants here. This is quite amazing. And usually it's dry. But we can produce also the sweet Lambrusco. And our sweet Lambrusco from Medici Ormete is absolutely not too sweet. This is very important. And the sweet Lambrusco can go very well also with desserts, with dark chocolate, for example. So it's very hard to say something that it doesn't go well with Lambrusco.
Thank you for reminding me that there are sweet versions of Lambrusco too. Aren't there like different levels of the sweetness? It's Amabile or something like that. How does it go with the different levels?
Yeah, usually in the Lambrusco area, we have secco, that means dry. So it's usually between 0 to 20 grams of liter of sugar. Then we have the Amabile, that it's a sort of a sweet Lambrusco. And then we have the Dolce, that in English means sweet, that is more than 50 grams of liter of sugar. But you have to consider that, for example, we do a beautiful Lambrusco that is a blend of two different varieties of Lambrusco that is called Quercioli. And we have the secco and the dolce. We have the dry and the sweet version. And that sweet version is absolutely not too sweet. This is very important because we always search the drinkability in our wine. And that particular wine, even if it's sweet with almost 50 grams of liter of sugar, that actually can seem a lot, thanks to the acidity and thanks to the tannin of that wine, if you taste that wine, it's very hard to say how many grams of liter of sugar we have inside, because our wines are always very balanced, even if they are sweet.
And now we talked a little bit about fizziness. Are there different levels of how fizzy or fully sparkling the Lambrusco can be? And is that something that would be seen on the label?
Yes. So like for the old sparkling wines in Italy, we have two different classifications, frizzante or spumante. Frizzante means that the pressure inside of the bottle is between 1.5 to 2.5 atmospheres, bars. I don't know how do you say in US.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Okay.
Perfect. And the spumante is more than 3.5 atmospheres or bars. Lambrusco can be frizzante or spumante. And this is another interesting part of Lambrusco. Before, when I said that Lambrusco is not an easy wine, because Lambrusco is complicated in a good way, for sure, because it's sophisticated. We have several varieties, but we have also three different methods of production of Lambrusco. This is an interesting point. The first and the most common method is the Charmat method. Joe, is the same method of production of Prosecco. So the fermentation happens in the still tank, and it lasts between 1 month for the classic and entry-level wines to 5, 6, 7 months, like for our Concerto. That is, as we say, is a long Charmat method. Then we have the classic method, so the Metodo Classico, so the same method of production of champagne. This is quite interesting, especially with the Sorbara variety, because Sorbara has a wonderful acidity. And as I said at the beginning, Sorbara has more or less the same pH, same acidity of the champagne area in every single vintage. So it works so well with Metodo Classico. Also for Metodo Classico that can age several years. And the third method that for me has a place in my heart is the Pednat, is the ancestral method, because actually was the original method of production of Lambrusco. And it's basically like a Metodo Classico, so the second fermentation happens in the bottle for a few months, but at the end of the fermentation, when all the yeast ate all the sugars inside of the bottle, so when the wine is completely dry, the producers don't make any dégorgement, so the producer doesn't remove the yeast from the bottle. We leave the yeast inside of the bottle and we sell the wine usually with a crown cap as our fermento. And I think is a beautiful expression, is a beautiful interpretation of Lambrusco as the first generation in our winery was used to produce.
Wow. Yeah, that really takes you back in history. You're drinking history, basically.
Exactly.
Wow. This has been a really good introduction. Now, you mentioned you're the fifth generation of making wine in your family?
Exactly.
Wow. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your winery and some of the methods that you use and techniques that may be a little different from other places, and so we can get a little idea of the Medici wines.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, our winery is one of the most historical winery in the north of Italy and the second most historical winery in Emilia-Romagna region. Everything started in 1890, so 131 years ago. And like many wineries, Joe, we were used to manage restaurants. We were restaurateurs, and we had three restaurants along the Via Emilia Street. Via in Italian means street, and Via Emilia is the most historical street in Emilia-Romagna. It was very important because at the time there wasn't the motorway, so all the traders were used to pass from the Via Emilia. So several traders at the time were used to eat and to drink at our restaurants. Of course, at the time, police didn't make any alcohol test, so the wine business was quite good. And that's why my family started to make wine. Then we moved to our days. Actually, Medici Ermete has and owns more than 80 hectares of vineyards divided in five different estates, four in the city of Reggio Emilia, one in the city of Modena. And today we export in 73 countries around the world. So we were used to travel a lot before the COVID period, but I'm sure we will back soon to try to communicate to the world what is the real Lambrusco, what is the potential of Lambrusco. And just to answer to the question, which methods do you use at our winery? We do all the three methods of production of Lambrusco. So Charmat, mainly, like the 99% of the production. And then that 1%, I think it's very interesting because it's divided in 0.5, let me say, in Metodo Classico, and 0.5 in Pednat or ancestral method.
And do you own all the vineyards where you grow the grapes? You take care of the vineyards too?
Yes, absolutely. This is a very important part. We always invested a lot. We have a team of agronomists that are involved to manage these 80 hectares of vineyards. Our viticulture is completely organic, certified from this year. So we started to do the conversion. Do you say it's right?
Yes, yeah, conversion. Great.
3 years ago in 2017. And with the vintage 2020, we got the official certification. Actually, we didn't change the way to do our viticulture. We just asked to the organization to certificate what we were doing. And right now, this year, we decided to put this certification also on the back label of our flagship wine, Concerto.
Oh, great. So you've been making organic wine all this time and just decided to do the paperwork already.
Exactly.
Great. Wow, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got a really nice introduction to Lambrusco. I really appreciate this, Alessandro, because you know our listener really needs to explore and learn about Lambrusco. It is such a friendly wine. I've been a champion and fan of Lambrusco for a long time, and it's wonderful to get all of the basics from someone like you who lives Lambrusco and lives there in the area, and really, you know, you're so passionate. This is wonderful. Thank you very much, Alessandro.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's been a pleasure, and I want to say something to the listeners, because please consider Lambrusco like a serious wine, like an interesting wine. Lambrusco is a word, and Lambrusco has so many different expressions. If you taste 10 Lambrusco from 10 different producers, you will find common characteristics, but in the same time, you will discover a word. So please come to Emilia-Romagna when it will be possible. Come to visit us, follow us on social media, because we have so many things to say and to tell about our land and also about Lambrusco.
All right, great. I'll put it in the show notes, but let's tell the listener, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you online?
Yeah, absolutely. On Instagram, on Facebook, our website has a blog also in the English language, and we try to update our community every week, trying to bring contents and informations, important informations about our awards, about our wines, about our what we do in vineyards, what we do around the world. So please follow us and support the Lambrusco world. It's very, very interesting.
All right, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe. Ciao, Joe. Grazie mille.
Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Alessandro Medici. We hope you learned enough to convince you to put Emilia-Romagna on your bucket list and to start your exploration of Lambrusco wine. Check the show notes for a cheat sheet on how to choose one, and also find out how to connect with Alessandro's winery, Medici Ermete. I'll be back with another episode in about 2 weeks. In the meantime, to further your wine education and exploration, please visit wine365.com. And remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. Enjoy it responsibly.